Good morning.
Good morning.
I thought today's passage is a very short passage, right? A couple of, or at least two or three verses that we read today. Many of us would have heard or even read about the life of Jabez. How many of you have actually, got hold of the book, The Prayer of Jabez, and actually went through it? 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, it's a small book, but I think if you realize, I think it has made a lot of impact, right? It has made a lot of impact, not only in the Christian community, but also in the non-Christian community. Also in the corporate world, you know, Bruce Wilkerson, when he writes that particular book, you know, it was sold quite a number of millions of copies. And one of the things that he's saying that, you know, we need to be asking God to bless us. You know, I went through that book. You know, it sometimes looks like a very spiritual mantra, right? In other words, you say, Lord, bless me, bless me, bless me. I think that's the way Bruce Wilkerson is trying to tell us. I thought it would be good for us to look at this particular passage, because of the past few weeks, we have been looking at some important characters in the Old Testament. One of the wonderful characters is Samuel, young boy, young lad. You know, God called him at a very young age. God has a great plan for Samuel's life. And I think even today, I believe that God has a plan for us, and because we belong to the body of Christ. And we also looked at the character of Nehemiah. Whenever we hear Nehemiah, we always remember the word. He was a builder. He was a great man. He was a great architect. He was a great builder for the Lord. And if you realize that he was not only building the walls of Jerusalem, but I think he was building towards the kingdom of God. And so last week, we were looking at this particular passage and telling ourselves, you know, all of us are involved in kingdom building. Whatever we do, particularly in our spiritual walk with God, one way or another, we are building or extending God's kingdom in this part of the world. You know, when you live a life of testimony in your workplace, you know, wherever you are building God's kingdom. It is not just building the walls of Jerusalem. I think they could have hired a contractor to do that. It is more than that, because as I told you, you know, Daniel have actually prophesied many years ago that, you know, this will be done for the coming of the Messiah. And so always remember, you know, my life is worth living because I'm, you know, building the kingdom of God. You know, I'm allowing the kingdom of God to not only dwell in me, but the kingdom of God to come upon this particular world. You know, whenever you hear the word Jabez, I think as I told you, you know, Jabez is a very interesting character. You know, he wanted God to bless him. How many of you like blessings? Let me be true to yourself, okay? How many of you want blessings? If I say I want to give you some money, I've only $10. Maybe you will put your hand out. Oh, Mary says she wants. I think all of us, you know, sometimes we don't ask God, Lord, you bless me. But in a very subtle way, we tell God, Lord, you know, we pray to God. You know, we go for exams. And I know many of you have said for your exams, you know, before we even attempt the papers, we ask God, Lord, help me. Actually, if you translate it, you are telling God, Lord, bless me, Lord, with good grades. Right? When you go for a journey, you say, Lord, be with me. What are you trying to tell God? Lord, I pray that you will bless me, that I will have a wonderful time, you know, when I'm away. So if you tend to look at your word very carefully, your prayers very carefully, you know, we are asking God to bless us. We are asking God to bless us. You know, whenever you use the word blessing, you know, sometimes it's human tendency, you know, we don't ask God to bless us. We will always ask God to bless someone else, right? We say, Lord, bless so-and-so, because they are celebrating this wonderful occasion in their lives. And so, Lord, we ask for your blessings upon them. But when we spend our time, or even in prayer in our life, very seldom we say, Lord, bless me. Bless me. Why? I do not know. You know, sometimes we tend to, you know, look at God differently. The passage today, I think it's about, you know, it speaks about Jabez. You know, I was looking at First Chronicles. First Chronicles is some, if you look at First Chronicles looks like a phone book. Have you realized? It looks like a phone book. I didn't make that noise. Yeah. It looks like a phone book because Ezra starts writing. He starts, you know, so and so, the sons of Noah, the sons of, Ham, and then his sons of Abraham. It's like a phone book. I think if you want to go and see who are the sons of Abraham, just go to the Chronicles, because you tend to see nothing interesting. And so I was just trying to imagine when Ezra the scribe was writing, you know, because these Jews were coming from captivity. And so he wanted them to know who they are in terms of their lineage. So he wanted the people to be aware, you know, where they are coming from. They had a covenant relationship with God, because God had a covenant with Abraham. So he wanted them to know who they are and where they were coming from. And so when Ezra was writing this phone book, I realized, you know, Ezra, you know, I was just trying to imagine, you know, what was happening in the mind of Ezra. You know, when he came to chapter 4, verse 9, you realize immediately he writes about this particular man. He doesn't write about any other person from chapter 1 onwards. But when he comes to Jabez, chapter 4, verse 9, he doesn't say, you know, Jabez's father was so-and-so, or these were the children of Jabez. You know, immediately stops for a while. And I was asking myself, why is Ezra doing this? Why? You know, he's just writing a phone book, and then suddenly you see this particular person's name, and you just want their contact numbers, right? But more than that, Ezra is just writing that this man is more honorable than his brothers. His mother named him Jabez. I gave birth to him in pain. Why all these things about this man? And I was looking at scholarship. Scholarship says, you know, because Ezra wanted the people to know, because they were coming from captivity. Can you imagine? They were always, many years they were living in captivity. So their minds were prisoned. They can't see beyond. They had a very tunnel vision kind of a thing. They were in a very slavery mindset. You know, it's about problems, it's about suffering, it's about pain. That was in their mind. And so when Ezra writes, he is actually encouraging them and also challenging them. Look at this particular character. This man, he was born. His mother named him Pain. Can you imagine your mom giving you a name, Pain? It's not because she gave birth, you know, she was having a pain when she was giving birth. You know, mothers, when they give birth, you know, they always exercise pain, right? And none of us have a name Pain here, right? So it is more than that, you know, and she gives birth. And so Ezra is just trying to tell these people, can you imagine, you are coming with this kind of mindset, with this kind of pain, with this kind of slavery, you know, nothing is going to change my life, nothing is going to change my future. This is who I am. Probably that was in the mind of the people who were in slavery for the past 70 years. And so Ezra is saying, you know, God can change our lives. God did this to this man because his name was Pain. Can you imagine? But God blessed him tremendously. God blessed him tremendously. You don't see much about him. You do not know about his family. He is like a nobody. But God blessed this great man, this man called Jabez. You know, when I was looking at this passage, you know, I was just telling God, you know, how wonderful our God is. Now, many a times we limit our God by saying, you know, there are certain things I cannot ask God. By the way, friends, I'm not going to preach prosperity theology, right? You know, many a times we limit ourselves, but, you know, I believe in a God who wants to do great and wonderful things in our life. He wants to change our lives. Today, when I look at my life, I think God has done a great thing in my life. He has transformed me. You know, until I'm 16 years old, you know, my life was totally different. But after, when I got to know the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, the Lord did great things in my life. A great transformation happened in my life, my friend. You know, I did not know that, you know, God will change me in that way. So when I look at the life of Jabez, he talks to me the greatness of God. He talks to me that God wants to work in our lives, that this God wants to bless us, because this God is so loving, is so wonderful. You know, I do not know what are your struggles are. You know, some of you are just going through, you know, why all these things? You know, sometimes we might have the mindset of this Israelites or the Jews who are coming from captivity. Can God change this in my life? Let me tell you, God can change things in our life, because this God is a very powerful God. And that's what, you know, Jabez's life speaks about. And let's look at this particular passage. You know, when you look at the story of Jabez, you know, anytime you see the name that is mentioned twice or thrice, you know, better read it. Because when Jesus called Peter twice, Jesus got something to say. And Jabez's story is also, you know, Jabez, in the Hebrew text, it's mentioned three times in this particular two verses alone, verses 9 and 10. Three times, you know, in the Hebrew text, his name is named. So it says, you know, God wants us to look at him. Look at this great man. Probably this is not a model prayer, you know, that we should doing. But there is some things that we learn about this man. There are great things that we learn about this God. And so let's look together in terms of, you know, from this particular passage. Okay. You know, when you look at this life, you know, as I told you, you know, his mother named him Pain. You know, sometimes you might wonder, Pastor, how can a mother name a child Pain, right? We don't want to do that. We always want to name our child Blessing, right? We want our child to be named well, after a great person, a great conqueror, because we want them to be like them, or like a great saint. That's how we name our kids. You know, when I was looking at this text, you know, very interestingly, in the Hebrew text, you know, the name Pain and the way the mother named him is almost similar. In other words, you know, it is not that the mother named him Pain, right? There are certain words, you know, when you use in the Greek, in the Hebrew text, it also says it's Pain. And that's what one scholarship says, you know. The mother gave him a name, so whenever you call the name, the word Pain is there. Or another, you know, scholarship also says it is because, you know, Jabez's father was killed in the battle. And so the mother was just going through some emotional struggle, physical struggle, circumstances change. And so this child was born, Jabez, and so she named him Pain. I was looking at the Greek Hebrew text, you know, JBZ and JZB. That was the way it was named for him. Can you imagine, you know, Jabez going to school, his friends are teasing him. Right? He goes to church, NCAC, they look at him differently because his name is Pain. Can you imagine growing up with that kind of name? Right? Wherever you go, right? If you order some food, probably the waiter or the waitress will laugh at you. Right? They'll say, oh, your name is Pain. Can you imagine? Who in the world will name you like that? Just imagine if your name is Crazy. Right? What will happen? Crazy. Well, they will laugh. Probably the person who's calling you will also be smiling and laughing at you. Can you imagine? I was just trying to imagine the life of Jabez, you know, growing up, you know. I do not know, probably his cousins were not so keen playing with him. Right? If I play with him, it's going to be painful. Right? In family activities, probably he was not invited because, wow, that here comes the guy. He's going to cause all the problems. In an environment, in a culture, you know, in those days, the culture was such, when a person's name is named, it is something like their destiny, you know. They are named Pain because their destiny is going to be pain. Their life is going to be pain. He brought pain, and so his life is going to be a struggle. It's going to be hardship for him. Hannah's mother named Samuel differently because she wanted Samuel to be a great blessing. Can you imagine? Jabez looked at his life, you know, my life, my destiny is going to be pain. That was the struggle of Jabez. But what happened, I think, very interestingly, Jabez, you know, it says in verse 9, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. Let's look at the text, you know. But can you imagine, even he was having that kind of name, growing up with that kind of, you know, thing, probably... In a very, you know, in a world where you know, we he's emphasized a lot on psychology, you know, a lot of low self-esteem, right? You feel you're nothing, you cannot, you're a loser, kind of a mentality. He's just growing up with that kind of bad, worse mentality. But verse 9, it says, he was more honorable than his brothers. He was not just honorable, but he was more honorable. The Hebrew text is very interesting. It says, you know, people honored him more than the brothers. He had brothers, but they looked up at him. He was a great model to them. Can you imagine? This man who was known as Pain, he was more honorable. He was not just honorable, he was more honorable that people were just looking up at Jabez and saying, yes, I want to be like him. He's a great model, he's a great mentor. You know, that was the kind of life Jabez was living. According to tradition, it says, you know, Jabez was a spiritual leader, right? And he was a very influential person. Can you imagine? He was a spiritual leader. People were looking to him, just going after him for some kind of spiritual direction in their life. He was a mentor. He was just a great leader because of his life. You know why? He was more honorable, even though his mother named him Pain, thinking that his destiny, you know, when I look at it, God can reverse my life, my friend. God can reverse my life. You know, sometimes we tell ourselves, you know, this is what is going to happen to me. God can reverse, because God does impossible things in our life. And this is what we learn from this particular passage. And what happened, you know, look at this particular passage in verse 9. It says, Jabez was more honorable. Why? In verse 10, it says, Jabez cried unto the God of Israel. In certain texts, you will read, Jabez called. You know, I was just trying to find out the secret of his life. You know, when I was trying to look at the word called or cried, it is something like, for example, Dave. So what happened? I'm calling his name, right? But the way in the Hebrew text it means, you know, he was calling on God's name. He wanted the attention of God, right? If you want the attention of your child, you call upon with a lot of strength, right? Dave, come here. That's how you, did your mother call you? I think that was happening. You know, so the word means he was calling God, not just the way that you, many times you call God, Lord, look at me. That was not the way. He was calling God with all his strength and might. He wanted the attention of God. He wanted God to look at him. And that's a Hebrew word. He was not just praying to God as a one-way kind of a thing. He was expecting God to respond to his cry, to his call. Can you imagine how he would have actually called upon God? He was not just simply saying a prayer because, you know, I'm asked to pray. And I said a prayer because, you know, because Christian life, you know, I have to pray. He was praying, he was calling upon God because he wanted the attention of God. In other words, I believe when he called on God, when he God was not hearing him, or probably, you know, he was calling him louder, louder, because he wanted God's attention, my friend. I think that was the secret for the blessings that he received. He called on God. Many times we ask God and we hope God will do something in our life. Have you ever called or cried to him in such a way, with all your might, with all your strength, with all your vocal cords, right? With all your faith, and say, Lord, hear me, God. Lord, hear my cry. Hear me. I'm just screaming. I need you in my life. That was the way Jabez prayed, my friend. Everything of him was there, you know. And I was looking at the text very carefully. The Hebrew word, and I was asking myself, was he making a demand to God? There is a difference between wish and condition. You know, very interesting, the Hebrew word that is used here, he was not making a condition by saying, Lord, you have to bless me. It was not. He was just pleading, Lord, I need your blessing. That was the way. He was not just saying, Lord, whether you like it or not, you're going to bless me. No. He was just pleading. He was just wishing. He was just wanting God to bless him until he hears my voice. When we call upon him, do we trust him to that kind of extent, my friend? Do we pray in such a way that we get the attention of God? Do we use all our energy, you know, time, you know, I want this God's attention? Jabez was able to do that. The Bible says that God heard him. A couple of things, you know, we will also see. What did he pray, right? Firstly, if you look at it, you know, he was asking God. You know, I was looking at this, some of the passages. It's not wrong for us to ask God to bless us, because God says to Abraham, was later named as Abraham, that I'll make you a great nation, I'll bless you, right? And in Psalm 119, the longest passage in the Bible, right? It says, you're good, and what you do is good, right? Ephesians says, you know, God can do, is able to do more than we ask or imagine. Right? And then, Jesus said that particular word. You know, when you look at this, you know, he was actually asking God for a blessing. In other words, he was saying, Lord, I want you to bless me. Back to the text, you know, when you look at the word, he was not saying, Lord, bless me. Bless me. No, he was saying, Lord, I want you to bless me the way you want to bless me. In other words, he was not telling God, Lord, bless me with this. He was saying, Lord, I want to be doubly blessed. How do you want to bless me, Lord? Bless me. If you want to bless me with this, bless me, Lord. If you want to bless me with this, bless me, Lord. I want your blessing. He was not just limiting by saying, Lord, this is what I want. But Lord, but I want you to bless me. Bless me with all the things that you have for my life. I think because he believed in the grace of God, you know, and so he said, you bless me. Dear friends, let me encourage you, you know, whenever you go to work, ask God's blessings to be upon you. At the same time, do your part also. If you're sitting for your exam, no, don't say the word, Lord, bless me, and you're not doing your work, right? You know, do your work and say, Lord, bless me with good grades. It's not wrong, right? Say, Lord, bless me. Let me tell you, maybe you might be the top student in the class, right? Bless me. I think Jabez was saying, Lord, bless me the way you want to bless me, Lord. He did not just ask for simple things, but he was saying, Lord, bless me with your presence. Bless me, Lord. And it was not just material blessing alone that he was seeking. Like Paul writes, you know, in one of his epistles, he said, that, you know, God should give us every spiritual blessing according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Right? Every spiritual blessing. Paul did not limit. Right? Every spiritual blessing. So I think it's good for us. By the way, before you do that, cry to him with faith, with trust, with obedience. And Lord, I want to get at your attention. Right? I want to come to you with that kind of obedience, with that kind of trust. And God blessed him because he cried to God, and the Lord's blessing was upon him. And when you read Luke 24, verse 50, Jesus blessed people. And so, you know, even in my prayer life too, most of the time I ask God, Lord, I want your blessing to be upon me. Right? So whenever you use the word blessing, we always think of monetary things. You know, it can be every spiritual gifts, right? Ability to do certain things. Blessing in our life and all that. So he was just saying, Lord, bless me, Lord. And secondly, you know, he was saying to God, you know, enlarge my territory, right? Sometimes when you look at the prayer of Jabez, you might think, you know, it looks very selfish. He's asking, Lord, enlarge my territory. And, you know, I was just looking at the history, and these people were just, you know, so Ezra is writing to tell them that, you know, Jabez was asking God, in a literal sense, more land. He said, Lord, I want more land. Can you imagine? I want more land in Markham because more value, right? I want more land. He was asking God, Lord, I want more land. Right? And in the Hebrew text, it is the idea, the verb here is used in the idea of multiplication. In other words, you know, just multiply, God. Give me more land. I was asking myself, why? Is he so selfish? Right? Why is this man, Jabez, a great man, he's asking God for, you know. In those days, what was happening, you know, if you want to be in those days, in the culture, particularly in that kind of culture and tradition people were living, you know, the more land you had, the more influence you had. The more land you had, you know, more influence. Abraham had a lot of land. So he had to tell his nephew, I think we can't stay together, right? You go some other place because I have much property. So the more, you know, land, Abraham was seen like a prince. And so in those days, if you want to make an impact in the lives of others, you want to make an impact in the lives of the society, in the community, you need to have more land. And so Jabez was saying, Lord, give me more land that I might be rich. No. He was not praying, Lord, give me more wealth that I can look at a person and smile. You know, I have more land than you. It was not that kind of attitude. Lord, I want to be a great influence to others. Because the more land you had, people looked up at you. They saw you. They came to you for guidance because God has blessed him. So, Lord, this is our problem. So teach us what to do. That was the way. And so in those days, even people came to Abraham for some kind of counseling. They said, Abraham, tell us what to do. Even kings came to him because Abraham was a wealthy guy. And so Jabez was praying, Lord, give me land, not because I want to have more piece of land compared to my neighbor. No, he says, no, Lord, it is not in that kind of mentality. He's saying, give me more land that I will be a blessing, that people will come to me, that I will be able to give them good counsel, good guidance. I want to be a great influence in the lives of people. Can you imagine? That was the way he was asking God. The point of his blessing or asking that he will be able to bless others through God's guidance. That he will be able to lead others to the God of Israel. That people will come to him and say, tell me what to do. He will be able to tell them, call upon the name of the Lord. I think that was the reason he asked God for more land, my friend. You know, if you look at the text very carefully, if you look at the life and read the life of Jabez, historically what happens, I think, after some years, Jabez's land became very popular that even the scribes came, right? The scribes came and it became a learning center for the scribes. They came to learn the scriptures. Can you imagine? Because of the land that God gave him, right? He did not make it into a gated community. It became a learning center for the scribes to come to dwell on the Torah. They were able to look at the scriptures very carefully. It became a blessing to the scribes. It became a blessing to the nation. And that's why he said, Lord, bless me with more land. Many times we ask God to bless us because we want to keep that blessing. But Jabez's blessing was different. He asked God to bless him so that through that I will be able to bless others. That others will have access to the scriptures. That the scribes will be able to learn, able to teach others. That my life will impact others, and through them,
impact the entire world. That was the prayer of Jabez. So he was asking God's goodness. Let me challenge you, ask God for some kind of blessing in your life that you will be able to bless others. Bless me, Lord, so that I will be able to bless someone. And that was the prayer of Jabez. Thirdly, you know, if you look at the passage, verse 10, he is asking the hand of God to be upon him. Right? In verse 10, he says, Lord, your hand to be upon me. Very interesting. When you look at the scriptures very carefully, he's asking, you know, when back to the Hebrew text, you know, Jabez is using the word the hand of God, or Ezra is writing when he says the hand of God. In other words, he's saying the full presence of God on the life of Jabez. Jabez's prayer was, Lord, I want your presence, not in everything that I do, in my entire life, from my head to my toe. Lord, I want to be filled with your presence. Empower me. Right? And that was the way. He wanted the presence of God to be seen in the way he spoke. He wanted the presence of God to be revealed in the way he was thinking. Right? In the way he was leading his life. In the way he was mingling. In other words, he says, Lord, fill me, Lord. Right? Immerse me with your presence. So when I walk, people know, you know, the presence of God is there with this man. That was a prayer of Jabez. It's not just because the way I speak of God, the presence of God should be felt, but every part of my body should be filled with your presence, O God. Fill me with your presence. When was the time we asked God to fill us with his presence? Many a times we say, Lord, help me with this. Lord, give me this. I'm not saying, no, you know, God is able to do this. But asking God to fill us with the presence of the Spirit. Right? Asking God to fill our thoughts with his presence. Even the way we look at things. Lord, I want to have your eyes of compassion. Because when Jesus looked at the crowd, the white bird says, he was moved with compassion. Lord, when I look at the crowd, Lord, I want to have, you know, the eyes of Jesus, that I will be moved with compassion. And that's why, you know, the psalmist, whenever psalmist in Psalm verse 1, chapter 1, sorry, you know, whenever you say psalm, you don't use chapters, right? You say Psalm 1. He says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of wicked, nor stands, nor sits. Right? So he's talking about even in my sitting, in my standing, in my doing, I want to be filled with the presence of God. That was a powerful prayer. He wanted the presence of the Holy Spirit in his life. You know, many times in the scriptures you will see this word, you know, Ezra came to the king. It says the hand of the Lord, the presence of the Lord was with him. Similarly, when Ezra writes, you know, and he says the hand of the Lord was upon him. In Acts 11:21, you know, the hand of the Lord was with them, and a large number of people turned to the Lord. When the presence of God is in my life, let me tell you, my friend, we will make a lot of great impact in the lives of people. You know, when the presence of God is felt in our sanctuary, let me tell you, you know, it will draw a crowd. When you look at the life of the early church, if you read very carefully, the Lord added, why? Probably you might say, you know, what was the early church doing? What kind of evangelism or evangelistic tools they were using? Let me tell you, it's simple. They were just loving God. They were a community. They were a real body of Christ. They worshipped God. They dwelt on the scriptures. They cared for one another. And people were able to see the presence of God there. And the word says, and the Lord added daily, because people were able to see the presence of God in the life of the early church. Can people see God's presence in our life? When people walk into our church, can they experience God's presence? When people have a conversation with us, can they sense, you know, I hear, you know, I see, you know, God is challenging me. And that was the prayer of Jabez. Fill me with your presence. Not only with blessings of God, but fill me with your presence. Lastly, let me finish with this, you know. And he says in verse 10, he says, keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. Right? Ezra was not telling God, Lord, just protect me. He was not saying like that, right? He was not praying to God by saying, Lord, protect me. The way he was saying is slightly different. He was looking at his life. He was saying, Lord, I don't want to go back to that kind of life. In other words, Lord, my mother gave my name as pain. You know, I had that kind of life. I don't want to go back, Lord. I don't want to live in the past, because my past will destroy my life. And so that was the, you know, many a times one of the work of Satan is to bring our past. Have you realized? When you're trying to do something for the Lord, Satan comes at the back of your mind, because he lies to you and he says, you cannot, because you look at your life is not worth, you know, can you imagine, this is what you did, and this is what you are. Can you? And so that was what, the way he was praying, Lord, I don't want to go back, right? I don't want to live the way, Lord, that I, you know, I was named, or, you know, they thought that I would be like that. And that was a prayer of Jabez. That was a cry of Jabez. He was just pleading to God, you know, and he didn't want to be. So in other words, he was saying, Lord, I just want a fresh DNA by your blood. By the blood of Jesus, I want to have a newness in life. You know, many times, sometimes people say, you know, oh, the way you act is this. You know, I see your father in you. I see your mother in you. You know, I see you are a very hot-tempered guy, exactly like your dad, like your mom, right? Have you realized sometimes people tend to say, probably he was saying, no, Lord, I don't want to be like that. I want to have a fresh and a new DNA, because I'm blessed by you. I've been saved by you. I've been washed by the blood of Jesus. And so, Lord, I want the new life in Christ. That was a prayer of Jabez, you know. And it says, God granted his prayer. Very powerful word. I just like that word. You know, God granted his prayer. Just God recorded and God granted his prayer. Today, my friends, I think, you know, God wants to bless us, right? And the Lord wants to protect us. The Lord wants to bless us in such a way that we want to be a blessing to them. It's all possible because of the Lord Jesus did at the cross of Calvary. You know, God is able to break our past. What is holding us back? Is it our past sin? What is holding us back? Is it, you know, what we did in our former life? What is just holding us back? Is there some kind of temptation in our life? What is holding us back? Let me tell you, the blood of Jesus breaks everything, every bondage. And Ezra or Jabez believed in that. He believed. And that's why if you look at passages like this, Ephesians 2:5, you know, Paul writes to the church. It's a very interesting epistle for the church to read. Ephesians 2:5, he says, he made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgression. It is by grace. And then if you look at Colossians 2:13, when you were dead in your sins and uncircumcised in your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. Let me tell you, God can break what is holding you back, my friend. What is your past sin? God can break. What is stopping you? God can break. Because what he did at the cross of Calvary, I do not know how much you believe that, but I believe that God is able to change the destiny of my life, my friend, to a destiny that he wants me to be or to go. He can change my life. The Lord blessed him. A nobody became a somebody in the sight of God. Jabez, those powerful characters, but Jabez was a nobody, but he was given prominence in God's word because he cried to God with all his strength. He wanted the attention of God, not the attention of people. You know, we live for the attention of people, but he wanted the attention of God. Let me tell you, if you want to have the attention of God, God is always available, my friend. The blood of Jesus is able to help us. I want to pray. And I just want to pray. You know, let it be a prayer, right? That God would bless you. Tell God, Lord, I just want you to bless me the way. But before that, you know, cry to him with trust. Let God hear your voice. Get his attention. And God will bless you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for we are made alive by what you did at the cross. Lord, even today, when we cry to you like the way Jabez cried, because he believed in the God of Israel, a God who can change his life, a God who gave his life for us, a God who has forgiven our sins, a God who can fill us with the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you, what is holding you back? What are you struggling with? Or what is your personal sin that you're struggling, a temptation that you want to overcome, but that is holding you back? The blood of Jesus breaks everything, every bondage. Let me tell you, Satan is always there, trying to deceive you, because he's a deceiver, by saying nothing can change you and this is your destiny. But God can and will change because of what he did at the cross. When we cry to him with trust and say, Lord, I want this God of Israel to be my God. When you cry to him with that kind of trust, not just simply praying, but trusting him, looking at him, because he's the author and the finisher of our faith, in obedience, in love, seeking him, searching him, God wants to bless us. God wants to enlarge our territory, that, you know, that our life will be a blessing to many. Father, we thank you for this day. And I want to pray, Lord, for ourselves, oh God. You know what's happening in our lives. If certain things are holding us back, Lord, help us to look at the cross. It's only by Christ, by what you did at the cross, O God, that you can change our lives and transform our lives altogether. We thank you, Lord, for what you did. And help us to trust you, to believe you, to call upon your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.